Malcolm?
Hi, Malcolm. He hasn't come on yet.
Okay. How you doing?
Oh, I'm okay.
Ruby.
Hi, Ruby. Hasn't come on yet.
Hi, how are you? Okay, I'm going to mute my phone then.
Okay.
What chapter are we doing tonight?
I think we're on chapter 17. It's a new chapter, verse 134.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Anna,
uh-huh.
Are you going to the services on the 15th for Hanukkah?
Yes.
At the temple?
Mm-hmm. I have to bring the coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
Good evening.
Okay.
Good evening.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Is that Jasmine?
Ruby.
Ruby.
Ruby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't recognize your voice. It was a little quick. So welcome all.
Mm-hmm.
And Malka, I heard speaking with Hannah. So welcome to everyone.
Yes. Thank you.
And happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
And happy Hebrew birthday to me.
Happy Hebrew birthday to you.
Thank you.
Do we need to sing the song?
Only if you know it in Hebrew.
I don't know it in Hebrew. I tell you what, maybe I'll learn it for next time around, next year.
Sounds
well,
good.
We sang it every time someone had a birthday. Shame on you if you don't remember.
Yom
Haledet. Yom Haledet.
We added the hog.
Oh, yes. Haledet. I remember that
Haksameya.
Song.
Yom Haledet. Haksameya. Yom Haledet.
Haksameya. I do remember it. Thank you.
Okay, good.
I just need a little help.
Okay.
Understand. We always need help. We're starting section 17 tonight, and it starts with verse 134. So I'll say L'shem Yehud, and then we'll just go right into the Aramaic. L'shem Yehud kut shabarichu ishkinte vid hiluur himud hiluud hiluur himu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe bavadhe. Yehuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenehu. Tu patach ve'amar v'ani hineni meviyao et hamabul mayim. Mem tet hinani ke wandi amar vani ela ani hinani kola mila chada hiyo tachatze bekol atar ani it avid gufa v'nishmeta Vadai din Kabbalah, mime dilela, ugin kach it remiz, viat kayama. Diktivani hine, beriti itach, Anitikama Bitgaya Mizumenet Uminda Ani Barseya Lema Dilela Ani Diavida Nukmin Lidarai Darin Biani Kalel Dikar Venukva Krachada Levatar Itrashim Bilkodo Deiz Dharma Men Deiz Dharma Lema Abad Dina Inani Mevio Et Hav Mabul Maim. And he continued quoting the verse, and behold, I will myself bring a flood of waters. And he asked, why does the verse say myself, after already saying, and I? And he answers, the words I and myself are the same, but come and behold, wherever it is written, I, a body has been made for the soul. This means that I is the female principle, which is as a body for Zeranpin. Conversely, Zeranpin is considered to be her soul, and she certainly does receive from above, from Zeranpin. That is why the word I is hinted in the sign of the covenant by the letter Vav, literally and, which is Yesod of Zeranpin. As it is written, as for me, literally I, behold, my covenant is with you. For the female principle receives from the covenant of Zeranpin. I means that I am ready to be revealed and am achievable. I means that it is a throne of what is above. I means that I am the one who shall seek revenge for generations upon generations. But the words and, the Hebrew word the or vav, the Hebrew word v'ai, v'ani, appearing in this passage, includes the letter vav and refers to the union of the male and female. The vav of and I refers to the male who is there on pin. Afterwards, the female principle is mentioned alone, without Zeranpin. At the time when she is ready to execute judgment, as it is written, myself will bring the flood of waters upon the land. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Do we know who he is? And he continued quoting the verse.
You're talking about right at the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If okay, we go back to the verse 133 in the previous section, you'll find who the he is. I think it's Rabbi Shimon.
Okay. Well, when I see I, besides ani, which has to do with human beings as well as occasionally, we will be used in reference to Hashem, is thinking of Anokhi, and then I think something called the ultimate I of Keter. I remember from something with Rabbi Zadok one time. It's possibly on his glyph. But that's, I don't know if the eye is referring to Hashem, because if it's the angel of destruction that's bringing the floodwaters, and I thought sometime back that Hashem just sat back like he rested while the waters were coming, so this needs a lot of help.
Well, I'm needy Oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask, try to get clarification. Who authored the first five books of the Torah?
The first four books of the Torah were dictated by Hashem to Moshe.
Okay.
And Moshe wrote them while Hashem dictated to him with the 40 days that he spent on Mount Sinai. The fifth book, the Midrash teaches that Moshe wrote on his own, and then Hashem validated it and said it's the fifth book. And in Second Kings, you have a story about the prophetess Huldah, because when they found the scroll of the book of Deuteronomy in the temple, they didn't know about it up until that moment. And they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know if it was valid, if it was somebody just doing it after the fact. Because it was done like 300-400 years after the first temple had been destroyed, and then they had already come back as Second Kings. So the book of Deuteronomy was found in the temple precincts itself. And so the king didn't know what to do with it, and he sent four men to interview Huldah the prophetess, the woman who sat in the temple gates as a prophet. And her answer was essentially that it was from Hashem and it should be added to the other four books to make five.
Okay. So when you look at the words like I and he in 134, if Moses wrote the first four books or five books, in this context, is it speaking about Moses or Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, or both?
In the first verse, in 134, it says, and he continued using a small letter H, looking at the English. And he continued is referring to Rabbi Shimon. But then he quotes the verse from the Torah, from Bereshit chapter 6, verse 17. And behold, I will myself bring flood of waters. That's Hashem speaking.
Okay.
Or maybe I don't remember if it's Hashem or if it's Elohim speaking. But I know sometimes it's both in that chapter 6. So it's, I don't remember exactly, but I know the flood was brought by Hashem, not by Elohim. And that's what's so difficult for people to understand, because Hashem is mercy. So how is a flood, which is destructive, merciful? And the mercy, in one sense, is he didn't destroy the world. It just destroyed the people. And the people don't really die, they reincarnate. But the question is...
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm finished. I was going to move on to another subject. So let's go there.
And he continued, with the lowercase he, it's Rabbi Shimon. But if it's a capital
correct.
He, like he asked.
Then it would be Hashem.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to understand it. But the best way to find out for yourself is to go look at the verses that are quoted in the Zohar. Go look at them in the Tanakh and see which name of God is being brought into play. Now, I believe Hannah was asking a question about Ani and Anochi. Because Anochi has an additional letter, Kaf. And Anochi always refers, in the Torah, always refers to Hashem or to Moses. It's rarely anybody else. It might have been one other time it would refer to Aaron, but I'm not sure about that. But I know sometimes, a few times, not often, but a few times it refers to Moses.
I remember seeing it just a few Torah portions away. I don't remember if it was Haftorah or Torah. I would say within the month, but I don't remember which character it was referring to. I try to note whenever I see on a key, but evidently I was too busy to take an extra look.
I think I've seen it where it refers to Hashem. And I don't remember where I read it, but that's what's coming to mind.
Yeah, with the giving of the Ten Commandments. But this has been just in the last, I'd say within the last four Torah portions, but I don't remember if it was the Torah or if it was the Haftorah. I read too many things.
But this verse from Genesis chapter 6 is referring to, it uses the word Ani, Va'ani.
And also in the Aramaic, it's Ani too. Va'ani.
No, it's quoting.
Mm-hmm.
Hana, it's quoting a verse from the Torah.
Right.
So it would bring it correctly. It wouldn't change it. You can't say, oh, that the Va'ani is coming in the Aramaic. It's coming from the Hebrew Bible.
Oh, okay.
Anytime a scripture is quoted, it's going to be quoted accurately from the Hebrew Bible.
Okay, I don't think we've ever mentioned that before.
I don't think we have either.
Mm-hmm.
But you have in this particular verse, you have so many eyes. And some of them are not in the Aramaic because they're Rabbi Ashlag's explanations. So it's very confusing to try and follow it that way.
Hello.
So here is the yes.
Is Anoki, Anoki, is that like Hebrew or Aramaic?
What's the question? What's the what of that word?
What's the origin of it?
It's the first word in the Esser Dibrot. It's the first word in the Esser Dibrot. And it's a very deep understanding. It's a... Anochi is an anagram. Acronym, I'm sorry, it's an acronym for the Hashem saying in code that I am writing my soul to you. And that's the first word in the Esser Dibrot, in the Ten Utterances. And it's essentially defining that the Zohar, defining that the Esser Dibrot that the mitzvot are really Hashem's soul. And it's a gift to us. Because by giving us part of his soul and recognizing that we are part of his of the soul of Hashem, it's an activation, a transfer of the energy of the soul of God. It's a very deep understanding. It takes a lot of contemplation. And that's what Hannah was mentioning and trying to understand, because none of these words that are related to I in this pasuk are Anochi. They're all Ani. Aleph, Nun, Yud. Whereas Anochi is spelled Aleph, Nun, Kaf, Yud.
Does I mean even one?
Say again, Ruby.
Does Ani mean one?
No, Ani means I. Like I am, I will, I did, I run. It's the personal pronoun I. And Anochi is translated exactly the same way. It's a personal pronoun referring to God or sometimes to Moses. It's never used by another person. Now, what this verse is saying, it's giving the code words with respect to the word ani and the respect to the word va'ani. Va'ani is and I. And I did this. And I wrote that. And I ran. That combination is telling you certain aspects of the Sefirot. The Vav represents Zeranpin. The Ani represents Malchut. And when it's written together, Va'ani, it's telling you that it's a unified Zeranpin and Malchut together. Now, when you look back and look at the various verses from the Tanakh that is being brought here for us to consider to understand, in one case it says Va'ani, meaning it's unified. In another case it says Ani, it means it's judgment, because the Vav is not connected, meaning Zeranpin is not connected to Malchut. And that is essentially what is being taught here. And the covenant of Zeranpin, as Rabbi Ashlag is explaining, the covenant of Zeranpin is also the Vav, it's Yesod. So, was that clear, or is it still confusing?
No, it's just, I mean, it's just certain things that I've read, I'm just trying to get a better grasp on it. So, no, you answered my question.
I understand. Sana, how about you, or did she have to get off with the phone ringing?
Well, it was, the I means that I'm ready to be revealed and am achievable. That's why I thought it might have had something to do with the I in Keter. But I don't think it does after what you had to say.
No, that's not what it's not saying anything about Keter.
Right.
Okay. Okay, the female principle. That's Malchut.
Yes, but it's Malchut in Atzilut. Whenever you see female principle, it's Malchut of Atzilut. And this verse is talking about the world of Atzilut. Who brought the flood? Who brought the waters of the flood? They came from Atzilut. They came from Zeranpin, or Zeranpin through Yesod, in unity with Malchut of Atzilut. That's what brought the flood to the physical world.
Okay. That was helpful.
Okay.
So, Hanak?
Yes, go ahead, Ruby.
You said that the origin of the flood starts in Malchut of Atzilut. Is that correct?
It starts in Zeranpin in unity with Malchut of Atzilut. And that's confusing. Because how can Zeranpin represent Zeranpin, which represents mercy, how can it be a flood, which is destruction? And that takes a great deal of depth of understanding and probing for yourself to understand that. But the flood starts in the world of Atzilut, and it starts in the lower two levels, Vav and Zeranpin and Malchut, in unity. But then when it gets down to the physical world, it becomes Ani without Zeranpin, because the physical world is separated from the spiritual world due to the human activity that was so horrible.
Okay, so in Atzilut, Zeranpin and Malchut are connected. But when you get to Asiyah, the physical realm, then they're disconnected. Malchut and Zeranpin are disconnected.
Yes, Zeranpin and Malchut are disconnected in the physical world.
Okay.
And the only way you reconnect them is through teshuvah.
Okay.
And that's the end of our time, unless you want to continue a little bit. But there's three more verses in this section.
I'm just
so
kidding.
We probably can... So our class tonight at 7 o'clock will be continuing our study of Rabbi Ashlag and his essays. And tomorrow we'll continue this class at the 4:30 Pacific time. And at 7 o'clock we'll have a Tikkuni Zohar class. Shalom to all.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.